flattery and cajolery make you vain. Remember that of all the cunning ruse of the devil to undo the good deeds of pious people and to effect their piety, flattery and false praises are the ones on which it relies the most. Do not boast the favors and kindness you have done to your subjects, and do not try to make them realize this. Do not think too much of that good that you have done to them, and do not go back upon the promises made. All these three habits are very ugly features of one's character. The practice of boasting over the favors done undoes the good done. The habit of exaggerating and thinking very highly of our good actions will make us lose the guidance of Allah. And the habit of breaking one's promises is disliked both by Allah and by man. The merciful Allah says, "It is most hateful in the sight of Allah to say something and do not practice it." Surah Al-Safa 61:3. Do not be hasty and do not be precipitate your decisions and actions. When the time comes for an action to be done or a decision to be taken, then do not be lazy and do not waste time and do not show weakness. When you do not find a true way to do the thing on hand, then do not persist on the wrong way. And when you find a correct solution, then do not be lethargic in adopting it. In short, do everything at proper time and in proper way, and keep everything in its proper place. Do not reserve for yourself anything which is a common property of all, and in which others have equal rights. Do not close your eyes from glaring malpractices of the officers, miscarriage of justice, and misuse of rights, because you will be held responsible for the wrong thus done to others. In near future, your wrong practices and maladministration will be exposed, and you will be held responsible and punished for the wrong done to the helpless and oppressed people. Take care and keep control over your temper, your anger, and your desire to be arrogant and vain. Take care of your hands when you are out to deliver punishment, and of the sharpness of your tongue when you are saying harsh things. The best way to achieve this is not to be hasty in making remarks and to delay in delivering punishment, so that you may keep your temper under control and are not overexcited. And this you cannot achieve unless you constantly remember that you have to return to Allah, and unless His fear overcomes every other sentiment. You must always try to remember the good and useful things done in the past, activities of a just and benign regime, good deeds done by it, good laws promulgated, instructions and traditions of the Holy Prophet, commands of Allah given in His Holy Book, and things that you have seen me doing or have heard me saying. Follow the good actions and advice found therein. Similarly, follow carefully the piece of advice contained in these orders. Through them, I have tried to teach you all that can be taught about a good regime. I have done my duty towards you so that you may not go astray and your mind may not crave for base desires. If it does, then you will have no excuse before Allah. I beseech Allah that by His limitless mercy and by His supreme might, He may grant our prayers, that He may lead both of us to the divine guidance of achieving His pleasure, of successfully pleading our cases before Him, justifying our deeds before man, of gaining good repute, of leaving good results of our benign and just rule with ever-expanding prosperity and ever-increasing welfare of the state, and of meeting our ends as martyrs and pious persons, as our return is towards Him only. May the peace of Allah be upon the Holy Prophet and His chosen descendants. Letter 54. This is a letter written by Imam Ali to Talha and Zubair and sent to them through Imran bin Hasim Huzai. Imran was a companion of the Holy Prophet. He had embraced Islam before the Battle of Khaybar, and from then onwards he remained in his company. He was a very pious person and was one of the very authentic narrators of the traditions of the Holy Prophet. Besides Nahjul Balagha, this letter is narrated by Abu Ja'far Iskafi in his famous book Al-Makamat Fi Manaqib Amir al-Mu'mini. You may try as much as you like to hide the fact and to draw a curtain over it, but both of you know very well that I did not approach the people to get their oath of allegiance, but they came to me with their desire to make me their Amir ruler. I did not extend my hands towards them so that they might swear the oath of allegiance to me, but they themselves extended their hands towards me, and you too were among those who had flocked around me to swear the oath. You all came to me to take the oath, not because you were afraid of my power to oppress or tyrannize you, nor did you expect any monetary gain from me. If you too had then taken the oath of allegiance of your own free will and without any compulsion, then do not break this oath. Come back to it. Repent before Allah of your having broken the oath. And if your action of swearing the oath of allegiance was not a sincere act done with pleasure and free will, then your behavior of pretending obedience and fidelity in the beginning and revolting against me at a later time does not speak well of your character, and which serves as an argument in my favor and against you. Upon my life, you had no more pressing need than other muhajirs to hide your real intention from me and to hypocritically pretend fidelity and allegiance. In fact, there was more justification than for you not to swear the oath of allegiance and not to offer your fidelity than to go back upon your oath and promise now. You two were wealthy people, and your clans to support and back you. Those clans were then, as they are now, powerful tribes. You were not forced to come and take the oath. Do you know what made you then behave like a hypocrite and now like a freed slave? They were your ulterior motives. You are telling people that I am responsible for the murder of Caliph Uthman, to bear witness to the fact as to who is responsible for the murder of the Caliph. You too or I. There are people in Medina who are impartial. They have never sided you or me, and have kept themselves aloof from me from the very beginning. Shall we ask their opinion as to who is responsible for this assassination? Their opinion will settle the question once for all, will lay the responsibility on proper shoulders, and will disclose the part each one of us has played of helping the Caliph as much as possible, or exciting the people against him and aiding and abetting the murder. My respected friends, give up your present attitude, though I know that by declaring the falsity of your position today, you stand the chance of being ridiculed and disgraced. Yet by persisting in your wrong and wicked attitude, you will tomorrow certainly earn the disgrace in this world as well as the punishment in the next. Letter 55, a letter to Muawiyah. You must know and understand that Allah has made this world a place where one is to stay only to provide for a happy life for himself in the hereafter by his deeds. People are put to set here so that they may be rewarded according to their merits. Our life does not end here, and we are not created only for this world, nor are we ordered to concentrate our energies only to acquire pleasures, power, and pomp here. We are brought here simply to be tested in accordance with our knowledge, intentions, and activities. You are being tested through me, and I am being tested through you. Each one of us is to be an evidence of the demonstration of the intentions and deeds of the other, whether they have been pious or sinful. You began by misinterpreting the Holy Quran, and on the basis of these misinterpretations, you started grasping power and wealth and began oppressing and tyrannizing the people. Your next unholy action was to call me responsible for an action, murder of Caliph Uthman, of which my tongue and my hands were both innocent. You with the Syrians tried your best to bring this deed to my door. They learned from your side, persuaded the ignorant and influential people, and drove the commoners to rise against me. Fear Allah and do not let Satan drive you wherever it wants. Think of death and the life after death, because that is the only resting place for you and me and for every human being. Be afraid of the wrath of the Almighty Allah, which may throw you into such a calamity that it will not only be an end of you, but an end of your dynasty. I swear, and my oath is such that I have no intention of breaking it, that if fate so arranges as to bring us face to face against each other, then I shall not leave the battlefield until Allah judges between us, and He is the best judge. Surah Al-Araf 787. Letter 56. When Imam Ali appointed Shuraih bin Hani as commanding officer of the vanguard of his army, which was marching towards Syria, he gave Hani the following instructions. Day and night, keep the fear of Allah in your mind. Be afraid of this alluring and vicious world. Never trust it. If you do not check yourself from the desire of acquiring inordinate things, then your mind will surely drive you towards losses. Therefore, have a complete watch and command over yourself, and at the time of anger and annoyance, see that you do not lose your temper. Letter 57. While leaving Medina for Basra, Imam Ali wrote the following letter to the people of Kufa. It is a wonderful epistle. It invites people to judge his intentions and actions. After glorifying Allah and praising the Holy Prophet, let it be known to you that I am leaving this city either as an oppressor or oppressed. Either I am revolting against the people, or some of them have conspired the revolt against the people or against me. Whatever the case may be, I invite in the name of Allah those to whom this letter reaches to come and see for themselves whether I am in the right or on the wrong. If they find me on the path of truth and justice, they may help me. And if they find that I am on the wrong, then they can reason me out of it. Letter 58. A letter sent by Imam Ali to the people of various provinces, giving them the reasons of the Battle of Siffin. The thing began in this way. We and the Syrians were facing each other, while we had common faith in one Allah, in the same Prophet, and on the same principles and canons of the religion. So far as the faith in Allah and the Holy Prophet was concerned, we never wanted them, the Syrians, to believe in anything over and above, or other than what they were believing in, and they did not want us to change our faith. Both of us were united on these principles. The point of contention between us was the question of murder of Uthman. It had created the split. They wanted to lay the murder at my door while I am actually innocent of it. I advised them that this problem cannot be solved by excitement. Let the excitement subside. Let us cool down. Let us do away with sedition and revolt. Let the country settle down into peaceful atmosphere, and when once a stable regime is formed and the right authority is accepted, then let this question be dealt with on the principles of equity and justice, because only then the authority will have power enough to find the criminals and to bring them to justice. They refused to accept my advice and said that they wanted to decide the issue on the point of sword. When they thus rejected my proposal of peace and kept on saber-rattling threats, then naturally the battle, which was furious and bloody, started. When they saw defeat facing them across the battlefield, when many of them were killed and many more wounded, then they went down on their knees and proposed the same thing which I had proposed before the bloodshed had begun. I accepted their proposal so that their desire might be fulfilled. My intentions of accepting the principle of truth and justice and acting according to these principles might become clear, and they might have no cause to complain against me. Now whoever adheres firmly to the promises made will be the one whose salvation will be saved by Allah, and one who will try to get back upon the promises made will fall deeper and deeper into heresy, error, and loss. His eyes will be closed to realities and truth in this world, and he will be punished in the next world. Letter 59. To Aswad bin Qatiba, the governor of Khalwan. After glory to Allah and praising the Holy Prophet, let it be known to you that if a ruler develop different inclination and favors about different people over whom he rules, then his treatment with them will not be on the basis of equity and impartiality. And this will not allow him to be just and fair to all. But so far as equity and justice are concerned, your treatment of all should be fair and unprejudiced. Remember that nothing can compensate for tyranny and oppression. Keep yourself away from what you consider bad and evil in others. Try your best to fulfill the obligations laid down by Allah upon you, and keep on hoping for His reward and fearing His wrath, because this world is a place for trials and tests, and whoever wastes his time here will repent in the hereafter. Remember that nothing will ever make you independent of the blessings of Allah, and He has made it incumbent upon you to have complete control over yourself, so that you, to the best of your ability, protect and guard the people over whom you rule. In this way, you will be benefited more than others whom you benefit. Letter 60. The following is the circular letter sent to those governors and state officers through whose territory the armies of Imam Ali were to pass. From the creature of Allah, Ali bin Abi Talib, to the governors and the collectors of those provinces through which his armies are to pass. After glorifying Allah and praising the Holy Prophet, be it known to you that I am sending some detachments of army which will, Allah willing, shortly pass through your cities and provinces. I have issued them the orders which Allah wants them to obey. They should not molest anybody or harm any person or anything. I want to inform you and your subjects that if the soldiers misbehave themselves or if they take anything, their action is against my orders, except for the condition that they accidentally fall short of the ration and can find no way to appease their appetite. If they take anything from anybody, they are to be punished. You may punish them, but take care and do not allow the foolish and insolent people of your place to quarrel with them or insult them or interfere with or obstruct the things that I have permitted them. I shall also be following the army. You may report to me of any excess or violence committed within your jurisdiction, of any awkward and difficult position in which you find yourself, or of any harshness or atrocity which was perpetrated in your province and which you cannot redeem without the help of Allah and your Imam. If you report all such affairs to me, Allah willing, I shall attend to them and settle them to the satisfaction of all. Letter 61. A letter from Imam Ali to Kumail bin Ziyad, Nakhi, expressing his displeasure and rebuke him in leaving his province unguarded and allowing the army of the enemy to enter and carry on loot. He was the governor of Hayt and had not properly defended the province against the Syrian guerrillas. After their attack and loot, he wanted permission of Imam Ali to take revenge upon the Syrian province of Kirkisia. Imam Ali replied to him in the following letter. It is wrong of a person to disregard and neglect the duty entrusted to him and try to take up the work entrusted to somebody else and at a time when he is not required to do it. Such an attitude indicates a weak and harmful mentality. Your desire to invade Kirkisia and to leave your province undefended and unattended shows the confusion of your mind. By such an action, you will convert yourself into a kind of bridge which your enemy can cross conveniently to reach your friends. Thus you will be a useless auxiliary who has either power, no prestige, nor dignity, who cannot stop his enemies in roads, nor can crush him, and who cannot defend his subject, nor can he be of any use or help to his ruler. Letter 62. A letter to Egyptians, which Imam Ali handed over to Malik bin Harith Ashta, to take it with him when he was appointed as the governor of that province. The Almighty Allah, glory be to him, entrusted our Holy Prophet with the mission of warning the people of the evil effects of their vicious actions and of bearing testimony to the truth actually taught and preached by other prophets. When the Holy Prophet passed away, the Muslims started a tug of war for the Caliphate. I swear by Allah that at that juncture, it could not even be imagined that the Arabs would snatch the seat of the Caliphate from the family and descendants of the Holy Prophet, and that they would be swearing the oath of allegiance for the Caliphate to a different person. At every stage, I kept myself aloof from the struggle for supremacy and power politics, till I found that the heretics had openly taken no heresy and schism and were trying to undermine and ruin the religion preached by our Holy Prophet. I felt afraid that even after seeing and recognizing the evil, if I did not stand up to help Islam and the Muslims, it would be a worse calamity to me than my losing authority and power over you, which was only a transient and short-lived affair. Therefore, when I stood up amidst the sweeping surge of innovations and schism, the dark clouds of heresy disappeared, falsehood and schism were crushed, and the religion was saved. I swear by Allah that if I alone come out to face them, and if all the world joins them, I shall neither feel nervous nor will I attach any care to their following. By the grace of Allah, I know fully well what kind of reprobates they are and how they persist in vice and sin. I am very anxious to reach the realm of Allah and earnestly hope and pray for His blessings and favors. But it grieves me to see that this nation and country is being ruled by uneducated, unwise and vicious rulers. They grasp the wealth of the country and drive its people into slavery. They hate pious and good people and quarrel and fight with them. They gather heretics and sinners around them and are happy in such company. You have had experience of some of them. One of them was punished for drinking wine. Among this crowd, there is a man who did not embrace Islam until he found Islam to be not a faith or religion, but a powerful state offering enormous possibility of gaining power and wealth. If I had no desire of saving Islam and Islamic society from the influence and sway of such people, I would not have called you for jihad. I would not have tried to make you see the reality of the situation. I would not have exerted myself to assemble you, and I would not have persuaded you to defend the cause of Allah. And finding you so indifferent towards the good of Islam and observing your reluctance to help its cause, I would have left you to your condition. Do you not see and realize that the boundaries of your state are getting shorter and shorter daily, and parts of your kingdom are being snatched and usurped? Your properties are being confiscated and your cities are being invaded. May Allah have mercy upon you. Come out to defend your country, your property and your religion, from the inroads of your enemies. Do not be lazy, careless and cowardly, otherwise your lot will be only disgrace. Remember, a warrior is always wary and vigilant, and never careless and negligent. If somebody is careless about his cause, his enemy will not sleep over this advantage. Letter 63. Abdullah bin Qais, better known in history as Abu Musa Ash'ari, was a man with weak faith, more inclined to look after his worldly interest than the cause of religion. At the beginning of the caliphate of Imam Ali, he was in Kufa. When he learned that Talha and Zubair, along with Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha, had revolted against the caliphate of Imam Ali, had declared a war against him, and had made Basra as their headquarters, and Imam Ali has also started mobilizing an army against them, and had invited people of Kufa to join that army, after realizing that the party of Talha and Zubair was also a very rich and influential group, and that it would be a wise action to be friendly with both the parties, he started saying, "Though Ali was the lawful caliph of Muslims, yet it was not correct for him to fight against other Muslims." Imam Ali came to know that Abu Musa, though professing his faith in him, was yet persuading people not to help Imam Ali. Thereupon, he sent the following letter to Abu Musa through Imam Hassan. From the creature of Allah, Ali bin Abi Talib to Abdullah bin Qais, Abu Musa Ash'ari. After glorifying Allah and praising the Holy Prophet, let it be known to you that I have received reports which may be considered favorable to you and yet at the same time may be deemed against you. That you on one hand declare me to be a lawful caliph and in the same breath you persuade others not to come to my help. As soon as my messenger reaches you, get ready, come out of your retreat, invite your people to join me and come yourself. If you are conceived that I am on the right side, then you must come to my help. And if you feel uncertain, nervous or timid, then get you gone. I swear by Allah that I shall not let you waver or adopt a double cross policy. I shall not allow you to sit peacefully at home with a double face, one for each party, and I shall expose you to the people. You will find yourself under suspicion for either group, and you will be forced to declare your true inclinations. This revolt, which has made Basra as its headquarters, is not an easy joke, as you have imagined it to be. It is a great tragedy, and it shall have very far-reaching effects. It has to be faced with the calamities which accompany it or which will follow it. It will have to be fought and got the better of. Therefore, I advise you to think carefully. Control your weak and wavering mind and face your lot bravely. And if you are not satisfied with me or have no faith in me, when you can, with complete freedom, go to the other side. You have my unreserved permission, but I am sure you will not be welcomed there. And if you remain in my camp, I shall not allow you to enjoy a restful sleep when Islam itself is in troubles and at war with the rebels. I swear by Allah that this decision of mine is the right step of a faithful Muslim in the right direction.